Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, so Farrell on the bench with Carver High. How about the Patriots tonight, putting it on the Eagles in Philly? Glad I bet on the Phillies or the Eagles. Seriously, I mean, you got to be kidding me. 35-0? First of all, we have to start with Jalen Hurts. So, Carver High, what are you telling me happened to this guy? I mean, what a quitter. What, I mean, what? He had, what do you have, diarrhea? I mean, what's happening
apparently,
here?
Apparently, he had a little bit more than that. Hertz was sent to a Philadelphia hospital, diagnosed with a stomach infection, told to stay home and rest for at least 2 days. He tested negative for COVID. That's from Adam Schefter.
Wow. So...
he was on the field warming up before the game. I saw a shot of him on the field warming up. So this must have hit him right before kickoff.
So he's out there warming up and then he got a stomach ache?
Yes.
What do you got, butterflies?
Stomach infection.
I don't believe that. I mean, what is next? He's got gout? I mean, what? Honestly, where do they come up with this stuff? So now all of a sudden he's got, like, stomach flu? What's the difference? He didn't play. He didn't play in the game. Is he not, like, the new Eagles quarterback? Is he not the entire franchise? Is he not with Devonta Smith? The two of them, isn't that, like, not the go-to 1-2 punch? Is that not the deal? Because they don't have Carson Wentz anymore. They got Jalen Hurts, and they won't even name him the starter. It's so embarrassing, right? But then tonight he's supposed to play a home game in front of the fans that paid all that money to go see that crappy team, and he gets, like, a stomach ache, and he doesn't play, and he ends up in a hospital. You can't make this stuff up. It's like a Lifetime movie.
It's not honestly a lie if you believe it.
You kidding me? This guy, he doesn't play? And then they get bent over 35-0. You have got to be kidding me. Damian Harris, a 5-yard run. Boom, 7-0. Jacoby Myers, 28-yard pass from Cam Newton. Touchdown, 13-0. The kick failed. Your boy... Ramondre Stevenson, a 1-yard run in the second, 19-0. 2-point conversion failed. Third quarter, J.J. Taylor, 1-yard run. Kick failed, 25-0. I think they've got a kicking problem, the Patriots. And then Ramondre Stevenson, another 1-yard run. Quinn Norden, the kick, 32-0. And then in the fourth, Quinn Norden, a 24-yard field goal, 35-0 in Philadelphia in front of a sold-out Lincoln Financial Field. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM. Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah Soldier. It's Pharrell on a bench. So they sell out the link. Everybody shows up to watch Jalen Hurts. He gets a stomachache, goes to the hospital, doesn't play. They, what, played Joe Flacco?
Yes.
10 of 17 for 83 yards. But how about Mac Jones? They're drooling over Mac Jones, Carver High. 13 of 19, 146 yards. Mac Jones taking over the world.
Mac Jones having another big night. They're going to bang the drum a little bit more for him now. But Cam didn't play bad either. He's eventually going to play when the Patriots are 3-6 midway through the year. That's when Bill will go and get Mac Jones in there.
Cam Newton, 8 of 9 for 103 yards, an 11-yard average, and a touchdown.
I'll tell you what I'm going to be looking forward to tomorrow. I'm going to be looking forward to the Joe Satriani sound after, you know, a 35-0 whitewash at the link tonight. I mean, I want to hear him spin this one in the morning. Now, look, it's a preseason game. At the end of the day, honestly, nobody cares. But 35-0.
Oh, they care.
You know how that town is. You know how that town goes. Even in a preseason game, 35-0. I can't wait to hear Sirianni tomorrow.
Oh, they care in Philly. They don't care if it's preseason or regular season. You get lubed up 35-0
at home
in an NFL game in that town. It doesn't matter if it's in August or if it's in November. I don't care. They will not let up on them. They are going to bash them tomorrow on the radio and on the TV like nobody's brother. I mean, it is absolutely, I mean, they are going to do them six ways till Sunday. I don't care if it was preseason or not. How do you have a game after you've been, explain to me, how do you practice with the Patriots for what, 3 days? Did they not practice Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with the Patriots? All day. Oh, whatever. Monday, Tuesday. They practice with them all day for 2 days, and then they go in the game and they can't even kick a field goal? Come on. Honestly, I could care less either because it was a preseason game, and I really don't care if I picked the game wrong because I picked tons of games right, and I don't sweat anything, regular season, preseason, or otherwise. I don't hit every single bet that I make. I can tell you that much. So let's get real here for a second. But you cannot deny, Carver High, that is an absolute lobotomy. That they lost 35-0. You cannot play a professional football game in your building in front of a sellout and not score. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are. I don't care who you're playing. You cannot, under any circumstance, get shut out 35-0 in your building. And that happened tonight. That is flat out embarrassing. Don't tell me they're not going to shred that Sirianni. They're going to shred his ass.
Yeah, look, I always love to throw around these games don't matter, nobody cares. You know, especially with another situation, you take into account that the quarterback that everybody really wanted to see, even though you were only going to see him for maybe a quarter anyway, didn't play in the game either. There's still other parts of your team that, you know, you want to evaluate a little bit in these games. And it seemed to me when you lose 35-0, every part of your team need some serious evaluating. And I just think I like it from the Sirianni level just because we obviously have discussed this at great length. This guy's not going to be able to handle Philadelphia. He's just not going to be able to do it. And now I think that it would be a lot different if it was 35-0 week one, the real games. But you're right. There'll still be some level of heat laid at his door tomorrow morning. And I want to see how he handles, even though it's a preseason game, a 35-0 loss, and everybody kind of giving him the business a little bit.
Do you not think that shows some semblance of who they are? That they're 0-2 already in the preseason? I know it doesn't matter. But that's who they are. They're not. They don't. What do they have? What do they have on
that team? Oh, look. I don't think they're going to be a good team at all this year. I think they're going to be awful. I think they're going to be the worst team in that division. They're going to be bad.
Devontae Smith, he's their most talented player, right? A high-speed flyer stud. But, I mean, I guess I could believe that Hurts is going to hook up with Smith. I'm bound to that they will be successful together because they've done it before. And he's such a badass, both of them at their, gig. They can both perform at a high level. I would think that they're going to hook up. I really do believe that they'll hook up. But he didn't play tonight. And then here comes Smith on the field. And it's, you don't get to see what they're going to do. But I think that they're going to do better than losing 35-0. But when you lose 35-0, it pretty much – I know he didn't play. But, Flacco was terrible, threw a pick. Mullins was terrible, threw a pick. Neither one of them sniffed 100 yards. It was embarrassing, and it's just who they are. They suck. And I'm watching this girl, Harrison,
beating
the living crap out of this Fabian girl. This fight's over. They're going to stop this fight right now. She's helpless. She's not defending herself. She's dead, and they have to stop this fight. She's just taking – I mean, she's going to have brain damage. This is the first round of
this guy's
fight.
Just staring at it, too. I mean, look at your boy. He's just staring at it, the ref.
It's over. He's going to stop it right now. It's over. I mean, how awful is that? Can the PFL at least get someone that throws a punch? I mean, that girl, she may have been, the Fabian girl, may have been the worst fighter I've ever seen in my life.
But this is,
have you
this
ever
is
seen
honestly,
anyone?
This is every time this girl... Kayla Harrison fights. This is every single fight. Like, it's time to move up in weight class. But what I mean is it's time to go, it's time for Dana to make the call. Give her, it's time. It's time to make some money. Like, this is wiffle ball. Like, this is nonsense. I mean, this is the same exact fight we've seen her fight like 3 or 4 times now in this dopey PFL. I mean, she comes in here and she just racks these girls. Throw her in the octagon with Nunez in about 8 months at some big UFC pay-per-view and let's go. Let's see her step up in weight class.
Right. What is she, a light heavy now?
I don't care what she is. I don't care. Get them to the same weight. I don't care how you got to do it. This girl's an animal, and I want to see her fight somebody on her level. Not this tomato can nonsense that she's doing in the PFL. She was a minus 4,000 favorite tonight. Look at this. Look at the stats. 66 for 84. The other girl, 0 for 1. She threw one punch in the entire fight. I mean, what are we doing here?
It was so embarrassing. Like, I just said to you, I don't even know her. And I said, I just watched a girl that was half the size of this girl. When they were announcing him, I said, this girl is going to get her ass beat. She is so small compared to this monster. And then she goes in there and just beats the crap out of her. And the girl
she
never threw a punch.
She hit her 66 times. And she didn't throw. The other girl didn't throw a punch.
She didn't throw a punch. That 0 for 1 is BS. She never threw one punch. She literally, she got her ass kicked so bad. They shouldn't even pay her.
Yeah.
You don't deserve a check when you don't throw a punch.
And like that this, and terrible. Harrison hasn't even broke a sweat. I mean, honestly, enough with the PFL. Just enough. Please.
I'm already back on the Dodger game. Oh, the Mets have scored. And they have a runner at second with one out. They chased that starter already.
Well, he was a bullpen guy. They're kind of doing Nebel. They're kind of doing like a bullpen game tonight. They don't really have a starter tonight.
Oh, it's a bullpen game?
They're trying to just piece things together. It must be nice when you win that many games in a row and you've won 70 games and you're just kind of just throwing guys out there to start the game. Who cares?
They had the shift on there, and it worked. I hate that stupid shift.
Yeah.
So this is what we're riding into town with tonight, taking this one all the way to the pillow, the Dodgers and the Mets.
Yeah.
You know what I think of the Mets, don't you?
Yeah.
So I told you the story. I thought they were trying to lure me to some father-son thing to see the Phillies and Mets, and I was like, because I had no idea, like, I don't follow the Mets. I don't know who they're playing. I mean, I guess I do because of Coast to Coast. and Ferrell on the bench that, like, every day we talk about who they're playing and, you know, their games and their odds and all
that.
Yeah,
we make fun of them. We do all that.
We make fun of them a lot. But I don't care where they play, and I'm not – I don't watch them. I'm not interested in them. But I won't deny they've had some semblance of success this year. They were, you know, in first place for most of the season. But they were never good. They were just, like, better than all the other crappy teams in that crappy division. And so I don't watch the Mets. Like, it's not like I sit around watching them. I told you the first game I watched all year was like Pirates Mets. And it was like a good game. It was like on a Sunday afternoon I was watching, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching an entire Mets Pirate game, all nine innings. I couldn't even believe it. So here I am watching them tonight, and I'm just like, whatever. But it's not every day that I can stomach the Mets and SNY, honestly. I have a history there, and I made fun of them so much they fired me. No one abused the Mets more than me. There was no one that had the stones to talk bad about the Mets at that channel, because they all are bent over and on their knees for the Mets that work there. Everyone that works there is on their knees. Every single person. There isn't one legit person there that tells it like it is. And then every day I went on there, I said they suck. And they're going down, and they're going to choke, and they're going to fail. And they did, and then they got rid of me because they weren't going to listen to it. But the reality is they've sucked since I've been alive, except for 86. I mean, honestly, what, in 2015? They lost that too. Wasn't it 2015? And then what was it? What was it in 2001 when the Yankees beat them? Bill Huber's coming up next from Packer Report. Hi, Ferrell on the Bench. Good to have our buddy Bill Huber back from SI's PackerCentral.com. He covers the Packers, and he's been on the bench a million times over the years. How you doing there, Billy?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm good. It's great to hear your voice. So I got to ask you, what do you think of the craziness that was the offseason for the Packers with this Aaron Rodgers saga? I've never seen anything like it. I mean, that was, for me, like at one point it just became painful. I mean, I couldn't take it anymore. I didn't even care if he ever came back. I lost interest in him because of the whole soap opera feel to it. I thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah, I think you and most of the fans are in the same boat on that. You know, it's funny that, like, people would think you're writing clickbait, looking for clicks for writing Rodgers. Nobody read this stuff. I mean, not nobody, but, I mean, it was like, for the vast majority of the fans, it was like, just wake me up when there's a resolution, let us know, and then we'll go on about our lives. I think most of the people agree with you. They were turned off by the whole thing. Some blame Rodgers, some blame the Packers, but most didn't care. It's just like, let me know if the quarterback's coming back. If we're going to Jordan Love, and I have to go buy a jersey.
Do you think that fans actually wanted them to, like, I thought essentially Gutekunst had to go. The whole summer, I thought they got to get rid of this guy because he's the one that Rodgers hates. So why don't we just get honest with ourselves here? The GM's the guy he can't stand. Why not just get rid of him? I mean, because Rodgers is a superstar. Rodgers is the reason you're in title games. Rodgers won a Super Bowl. He's the reason that you have any success at all. If it wasn't for him, you'd have no success. I really believe that. And so I just don't care about that GM that everybody gets all caught up in.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, the GM in particular is a pretty damn good football team. No, you know? Some of Rodgers' beefs, it's like, really? I mean, he played about Jake Kumerow, who caught, you know, like 10 passes over the years. You know, he complained about Jordy Nelson, and Jordy was a hell of a good player, but I mean, last year, he was shot. Complained about Randall Cobb. You know, Randall Cobb's best season.
Hey, Bill, I think we're gonna have to. I think we're gonna have to pause and try to call you back. I got a horrible connection. I can't hear you talking. So, Carver, why don't you try to get Bill on a line, a different line or something? It's just a disaster. I can't understand a word he's saying. It's like he's on a spaceship. I mean, maybe he is. You never know. He could be like on a UFO or something, calling in. Carver High's just not having it. At some point, he just shuts it down. He's like, you got to just get rid of him, and then we'll try to dial him up again on another line. Hopefully, it'll be better the second time around. Been under a tremendous strain. Now Carver High's checking in on him, seeing how he sounds. We got a problem. Maybe is his location bad? Like, is he down in the basement or something? I'm going to try one more time with the third try is a charm. And if it doesn't work, we're going to have to swing and a miss. Because it just sounds so bad. I can't put that on the air. It's just that simple. And Carver High won't have it. Yeah, I'm over here. I'm concerned. Let me just say this about maybe because, you know, I'm sure Bill doesn't want to hear it. But I'm going to say it anyway. Because he said, you know, Guttenkus put together a really good team. You know, I'm not so sure about that. I'm really not. I got to tell you, I think that I'm willing to say it. I think the only reason that they're good is Aaron Rodgers. I was never convinced of anything that they had going on that team. I won't deny that Adams is a badass. I never thought the defense was that good. I mean, they just didn't get it done, and that's all there is to it. But I never thought they were that good, the rest of them. So I think we're gonna try one more time here with Bill Huber. So Bill, what I was just saying on the air is, and I know that you probably won't want to hear this, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I'm not so sure that they were that good. That he put together this great team. I'm convinced, literally, that the reason they're good is Aaron Rodgers and Adams, and that's it. I mean, I think it's really those two make it all go, and I'm not, like, jumping up and down, and I'm not even trying to be painful here. I never was sold on them, like, in any great capacity, defensively or otherwise, that they were this great team. I thought they had a great quarterback, a great player that is a game-changing, game-defining, an orchestrator of success. Everything that they do is because of his hand. I always thought it was that. That's why they were so good. No other reason.
Well, it's quarterbacks. I mean, that is true to some extent. But, look, they've got maybe the best left tackle in football. They've got one of the best left guards in football. They're one of the best running backs in football. The pass rush is really good. Jair Alexander might be the best cornerback in football. The safety tandem of Amos and Savage, one of the top two or three tandems in the league. And this is a damn good football team. It's not all Aaron Rodgers. Today Devontae Adams was talking to us, and he's raving about the receiver corps, saying it's the best receiver corps he's been around. This is a really good football team. Aaron Rodgers is a great player. It's not just him, though.
So, like, look, if he didn't play, because I have this interpretation. I don't deny they're good. I mean, they're in title games, right? I'm not denying that they're good. But, like, if you have to worry about Aaron Rodgers, then I'm not, then your great running back, Jones, he's incredible because they have to worry about Aaron Rodgers. They're not worried about him. And the next thing you know, he's running at 150 yards down your throat. It's no different than the opposite effect of, like, what Henry does for the Titans. They worry so much about Henry that Tannehill's going off doing great things because they're not even worried about him. Do you think Jones would put up these huge numbers if Aaron Rodgers wasn't the quarterback?
Well, no, of course not. You know, by the same token, though, you know, Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. What would they be without Tom Brady? I mean, quarterbacks will always make the thing go, which is why they get paid a gajillion dollars. But any team with a great quarterback, it's the quarterback leads the way. The Bucs wouldn't win a Super Bowl without Brady, though, but that's not to say the rest of the Buccaneers aren't great. I mean, that was a fantastic football team. So, yeah, Brady makes it go. Rodgers makes it go. But the supporting cast is pretty darn good for both those teams.
I won't argue that Brady's with his seven rings. I'm not even going to go there. But I'll say this, is that I thought that when they got hot and they won all those games – they reminded me of the Giants when they went on the run and made it to the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots when they got, you know, they went to Lambeau and they won in Tampa and they, you know, ended up beating the Packers and then going to the Super Bowl. All I know is that I feel like, you know, for me, is that that team got hot because of their defense. And I never thought, to be honest with you, that Brady was that great in any of those games until the Super Bowl. When the Chiefs lost their offensive line and then Mahomes was running backwards for 4 hours and they were doomed and that defense won that game for them. And it made Tom Brady's job so easy to throw to Gronkowski all night. No one thought Gronkowski was going to have multiple touchdowns in the Super Bowl, but he made it look easy. But I thought leading up to that game, the whole regular season, they were average. And then they got hot in the playoffs, and I thought they got hot because of the defense. Would you disagree with that?
No, but, you know, you use the Chiefs as an example. Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the league, right? But you take away his offensive tackles, and the guy got killed. He had no chance in the biggest game of the year. He was overwhelmed, so it kind of just goes back to, yeah, you can have a great quarterback, but you better have the pieces around him because the quarterback – you know, even Patrick Mahomes isn't Superman. You know, he's got to have some help carrying that cape.
So what do you think is going to happen in terms of, and do you have time to hang out with us for a little bit? Because I wouldn't mind talking a little more with you about this because I've only got like 45 seconds here. I got a break. Can you chill for a few more minutes after that and talk more about the Packers?
Sure, yeah.
All right, so let me throw this at you. And then we'll come back and get your reaction to it and your assessment of it moving forward. Like, I am enamored with his brilliance. I don't question his greatness. I really don't. I think the guy's a rock star. But when he this year, he's saying, I don't want a farewell tour. I just want to have fun. I want to win. I want to go to the Super Bowl. I do believe all of that. But I want to see what you think is going to happen, in essence, this season. Is it going to be so easy? Is it going to be so fun? Is he going to go to the Super Bowl? Or is it going to end ugly and he's going to leave Green Bay and go somewhere else next year? We're talking to Billy Huber from Packers. On the bench, we're talking to Bill Huber, PackersCentral.com on SI. So what do you think? Like, obviously, it's all that matters there is that he's going to play this year, and then there's got to be a ending to this. Like, everybody anticipates he's playing one and done, and he's out of there, right? Like, so we can't possibly go through this again next offseason if he's going to decide if he wants to stay with the Packers or not, or cut another deal. It's like, I can't take it again. It's like a bad soap opera. What do you think happens?
Yeah, I think this is probably it. He was so upset with everything. You know, maybe they can work it out. But by the same token, the Packers are something like $50 million over next year's salary cap. The only way to get out of it is to, I mean, if they had to move on from Rodgers, they would get rid of like half of that. They get him halfway out of the hole. But, you know, Rodgers wants to win. He wants the GM to go all in. But if you're so far over the salary cap, what moves are you going to make? they went all in. This year is all in Green Bay. They redid everybody's contract. There's not many easy outs next year if you keep Rodgers. I mean, and that's without Adams under contract. I mean, this is Adams' final year under contract. So, you know, if you're to resign him, now you're even deeper in the hole. So, yeah, I would assume this is probably it just from a financial standpoint.
Where in God's name do you think he ends up going? You've heard every rumor in the world, the Saints, et cetera. Where do you think he ends up going?
Well, Denver makes some sense. Denver's got a really good football team, but they don't have a quarterback. It gets them out of the NFC, so you don't have to worry about him so much. Where is Carr going to be with Vegas? But, you know, Denver's kind of been the trendy pick all along, so I guess I could see that.
Do you think that that it's going to be the Buccaneers and Packers playing in the NFC title game?
Boy, they're both really good, aren't they? You know, this Packer team is really good. But it's going to be hard. They might start the season without Bakhtiari, their all-pro left tackle.
Right.
They've been incredibly healthy in Matt LaFleur's two seasons. The pressure is going to be enormous. I mean, if this is Rodgers last year, there's that pressure. It's the feeling of they're so far over the cap, and like everybody realizes this is the last rodeo for this particular group. The pressure is going to be overwhelming on these guys. Of course, these guys are used to dealing with pressure, so I'm not sure how much it affects them on Sundays, but. Yeah, the pressure's on them. I mean, they were incredibly fortunate last year. You know, playing in empty stadiums was great for them. They had Minnesota in week one, New Orleans in week three last year, and those places were empty, so that worked to their advantage. It was just so many things worked their way. The schedule's brutal. It's going to be a real challenge for Green Bay to get back. Talent-wise, they're certainly good enough.
So if they – what happens, like you talk about the pressure, what happens if it all catches up with them and they fail – and they lose close games, and it goes the other way, and it turns into a nightmare. Can you imagine the stress that he'll be under and, frankly, the national abuse he'll take? And people are going to point right back to the offseason and all the drama, and they're going to blame that as sure as I'm sitting here.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, that's inarguable. If they don't win, it's going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be ugly around here, but there's going to be a lot of questions. There's going to be a lot of angst among the people, the national media. Yeah, it's going to, the soap opera will continue for sure.
So the kid Love, he got banged up, right? Like, are people genuinely jacked about Love and think he's going to be a great quarterback in Green Bay, or is there a lot of doubt?
I would say more doubt than anything. I mean, but look, it's been Favre and Rodgers. It's three decades of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I mean, that's almost an impossible standard. Love's done some really good things, going back to OTAs and mini camp and training camp, and he's done some other things that weren't so very good, kind of typical young quarterback stuff. It's so hard to grade him, though, when he's going behind the number two O-line and, you know, during the preseason game, you know, of their top five receivers, you know, they're all inactive. I mean, it's tough critiquing a quarterback when he's going with a bunch of young guys, but the guy can throw it. He can run, and there's a lot there to like, but there's been a lot of quarterbacks in the history of mankind with a lot to like who haven't panned out. So I think the jury's out. I think most fans aren't buying it, but we'll see.
Did you go to those Jets-Packer practices? And I know that Zach Wilson, the Jets quarterback, was just so enamored with Aaron Rodgers. He said it was like, I mean, it was like the thrill of a lifetime for him to be talking to Aaron Rodgers and even be on the same field with him. And then at the same time, the Jets lost Lawson, and they had more injuries than that. So their little two-day whatever practice session turned into a nightmare for the Jets. You guys have like some third-string hack quarterback no one's ever heard of playing in that game Saturday night. Did you go, and what do you think will happen in this game that has now become completely meaningless because Aaron and Love aren't playing, so you're going to go with this guy. We made fun of him today I don't even know his name. From today to tonight, I've already forgot his name. That's how bad it is. Burkhardt, whatever the hell his name is.
Yeah, yeah, know. Kurt Benkert, yeah. Yeah, the practices are great. The preseason game's going to be dreadful by comparison. Benkert, I looked at FanDuel earlier. The Jets are, I think, 2.5-point favorites. The over-under is like 31. It's going to be a dog of a game. Zach Wilson was not very impressive. The Packers pass rush overwhelmed him. He didn't get a lot of help from receivers. He's got an uphill battle for him. But, yeah, I mean, Green Bay is not going to play anybody. I'm not sure what the Jets are going to do. He had a rough go of it. I think I watched him against Green Bay's defense the first day, and it was just a jailbreak. You know, the Packers, you know, Preston Smith ran roughshod over Mekhi Becton, and, you know, Kingsley Kiki had 3 sacks. It was just the Jets have a mess. You can see why they stunk.
Do you think Mekhi Becton should be in like Marvel movies because he's so big? I mean, he's literally like he's
enormous, but man, the guy can't move. Yeah, he's got poor movement. I mean, Preston Smith, who Packer fans won the run on here last year, just feasted on him. The guy can't move, and people just going. He's so tall, people just kind of going under him.
They nutmeg him.
Yeah, I don't know. It was maybe he doesn't care about practice, but it was a long couple days for him.
All right, listen, Billy, you're the best. I'm glad we got your phone situated. You ended up sounding fantastic. It's always great catching up. I'll talk to you when the season starts, and we'll see how the Packers are doing with all this stress and pressure. Thanks for coming on the bench.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, Bill Huber of Packer Central on Sports Illustrated. Carver, I did want to get your opinion of one thing before we get out of here tonight. Not that I freak out or care, but we talked about it, I think, at some point or another today on Coast to Coast, is that the guy, Max Kellerman, they're saying is they're taking him off of that show. He argues with Stephen A. Smith all day on the television. And it's so like they argue and the one guy screams and yells so much that, like, if I turn that on in my house, 34C is just not having it. She just will not be in the same room with that Smith guy screaming and yelling and going off. She can't take it. She can barely take me, let alone him. So she can't stand me or him, right?
Shut up!
So, but I have to say,
shut up! Shut up!
That was actually 34C right
there. Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
She thinks, as well as I do, she used to say to me, she'd come in, I'd be eating breakfast, and the thing would be on after I get back from the gym, and she's like, that guy is just having sex with the other guy. I mean, he just owns him, and he just steps all over him and just abuses him. I mean, that's just as simple as it is. That is exactly what happens. He is so much better than the other guy. He owns him. It's absurd watching him just do the other guy.
Whether you're a fat, out of shape truck driver, whether you're a skinny geek pushing a taxi cab, whether you're a doctor or lawyer that doesn't have half the money we have, this is the way life is.
That was Smith lighting up Max on the show today. Do you think that that's why they're taking him off that show? Because even the executives now can't bear it to watch him get bent over, spanked and called Charlie every day by Smith. I heard they're going to rotate a bunch of people in there now as his victims every day to argue with him, and they're just getting rid of Kellerman. Now, they're not getting rid of him on the network. He's still going to do all his boxing, which I think he's great at. I do think he's a great boxing guy, and I think he does some kind of other stuff there, radio shows and everything else. Believe me, you, I don't follow him. I don't listen or watch or anything. I don't have time. I'm too busy, but I do know that it happened, and I know there was quite the upheaval and reaction to it. So I just wanted to say I've seen it, and all I know is Smith does him 6 ways till Sunday, just kills him. He just abuses him. I mean, listening to that guy try to talk basketball is the most embarrassing thing I've ever heard in my life. When I used to hear him talk about basketball, I'd be like, bro, they got to get rid of this dude. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Do you think that's why they did him? Who is he? I don't even know who that is.
Probably just couldn't take it anymore. Look, this is clearly, there's only one person who's making this decision. And that's your boy, Steve. Like, he decides who sits in the chair next to him. And that's that. This ain't some suit up at the top. You know, we think we should change the show up. This is your boy, Steve, going, yo, I need somebody else in here. And my man, it just ain't happening. So now they're going to get the road.
Alive.
Yeah, it just, you can't have it. You get him out
like,
of there.
Like, I've tried to watch it, like, when I'm eating breakfast. Yeah. I always come home from the gym, and I'm, like, around 10, I'm eating cereal, whatever, having a donut, having a coffee, winding down. I get up at 6, I'm busy. I'm getting shows ready. I'm doing everything. You know what I do. But I'll have it on, and then she'll walk in the room, and she'll be like, turn that off. I can't take this dude. And then I'm watching going, man, is this guy just having sex with this dude? I'm just like, and because she'll say, like, you should be on there arguing with him. And, obviously, that'll never happen. I got nothing to do with them, and I have nothing to do with him. I'm not friendly with him. I don't have any kind of relationship with him. All I know is that guy is his B. I mean, he just absolutely made Max his B. I mean, it was every time I turned it on, he was just doing him. It was embarrassing. You have to admit, you can't even argue it. And I know you don't even watch, but I know you've seen it a couple times at least.
I've seen some clips across the, you know, that fly across the Twitter every once in a while, but you couldn't pay me to watch that show. Yeah, it does seem like he abuses him pretty much every single time.
On everything. And meanwhile, the guy, like, he doesn't, like, he acts like he knows everything about whatever. But the other guy, he actually, you know, it when it comes to boxing, that's where he wins and nothing else. He wins nothing else. So eventually you just have to end it. The bleeding has to stop. And that's what they're doing. And so, as they say, you lose. So the Yankees beat the Twins tonight. They lead the A's by a full game. Boston, they're going to start a series with Texas. They're out of the playoff picture right now, and the Padres lead down to 1 over the Reds. I did want to mention one thing. Your boy Bickford, Carver High, for the Dodgers pitching against the Mets right now, striking out the Mets left and right. He is just absolutely rocking the Sammy Hagar do. I mean, look at that hair.
Yeah, that's a strong effort from Bickford. I mean, and he's got, like, a lot of things happening here. I mean, he's got the tremendous flow coming out of the hat. He's got, like, this little mustache cooking. He's even got the little tickler working on the chin, too. I mean, Bickford's got, like, a little piece of everywhere here.
He actually looks a little bit like the Wicked Witch of the East, minus the green. He just kind of has a pasty look about him. But he does have the terrific Sammy Hagar do. And it's like a combo meal of a surfer, Sammy Hagar. I mean, he's got it all going. That was the worst football game I've ever seen in my life tonight. I did not watch one second of it. 35-0 Patriots. Tomorrow night, Chiefs-Cardinals in Zona and Bengals-Washington in D.C. That is going on tomorrow. I'll see you at 4 East on Coast to Coast. Are we good, Carver High? Wow, I still got a little piece left. I mean, this is unbelievable. I'm under so much stress. I mean, tomorrow, Twins and Yankees. Let's see who's going in that one. Your boy, Heidi Cortez Jr. against Barnes at the Boogie Down. I'll see you on C2C on a pain-free Friday. Peace.